This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Speak Show normally airs every Tuesday from 6 to 7 Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network. You can participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the United States and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. That number again, 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government and politics section of Pal Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have a virtual radio room, the People Speak Radio Show, that anyone may join to participate in the show. Well, this is a fantastic show tonight. We're talking to a very special guest here, a regular guest on the long-running radio show hosted by Phil Restino called United We Strike. He's a well-known American researcher, a prolific writer, an outspoken advocate of human rights, and a renowned political commentator. We're talking tonight to Mr. Larry Pinkney about the political ties and machinations surrounding the Obama administration and its implications for the people of America. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show, Mr. Pinkney, sir.
Thank you. It is an honor and a delight to be on the People Speak Radio Show. Thank you, my brother.
Well, thank you, sir. The honor is truly all ours. We'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour, but my first question to you, Mr. Pinkney, is how long have you been fighting for human rights in America, and how did you get started?
Well, I got started at the age of, I guess I was 11 or 12 years old when I had the opportunity to meet Brother Malcolm X in Baltimore, Maryland. And even though I was extremely young, I read a lot and studied a lot, and this brother touched my heart. Years later, approximately, 5 or 6 years later, I found myself in California and ultimately became a section leader in the Black Panther Party. So, you know, people do have an impact. They definitely do. And I guess that's how I was started. And let me just say, I've been in the struggle now, the people's struggle. And I love being on the People Speak Radio, the people struggle for well over 47 years. The struggle continues.
Wow. So you're a long-termer at this sort of thing.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Absolutely. Absolutely, my brother.
You are indeed the only American ever to have successfully self-authored your own civil and political rights case to the United Nations under International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Can you elaborate on the significance of that and what it means for everyday people who are having their rights abused today?
What it means, frankly, is that there is international legal precedent. Again, I repeat, international legal precedent that addresses, quite frankly, matters relating to human rights. And people, unfortunately, especially in the United States, are not cognizant of this. They don't understand simply because the corporate government, if you will, has done a horrible or good, however you want to put it, job of keeping that information away from people. My case, yes, I self-authored it. I did not go through a lawyer. Everyone, or virtually everyone, told me, you're crazy. Your case will never be accepted by the UN. Well, I remembered what Brother Malcolm had said to me well over a decade earlier. And he said, you know what? The struggle for human rights is an international struggle, so we need to take it internationally. So I'm honored. I'm delighted that I did that. And even though, of course, I ultimately won, in quotation marks, in other words, I received a ruling from the United Nations Human Rights committee, which consisted of many, many countries, stating that indeed my human rights had been violated. Both the U.S. and Canada simply ignored the decision. But other countries around the world, whether it was in France, Denmark, Germany, Ghana, Tanzania, Jamaica, Ghana, et cetera, I think I mentioned Ghana before. But the point is that I'm making is that countries and peoples around the world understood the significance of that for everyday, ordinary people. You don't have to be a lawyer to know anything about human rights. And I want to make that clear.
Your own personal fight for human rights across the board has seen you speak out, not only for your own rights and the rights of African Americans, but for the rights of Indigenous Americans' rights also. How much work have you done with Indigenous Americans in the past?
Well, let me begin by saying that my grandmother, my mother's mother, is Indigenous. And I have a deep and abiding bond with Indigenous peoples, particularly those in the so-called United States. I say so-called because, quite frankly, I hate that term Native American. It's like, excuse me, before Amerigo Vespucci was even born or even thought of being born, Indigenous peoples were all over the two continents that have become named North America and South America. So my point that I'm trying to make quickly is that Indigenous people and myself, and I consider myself not only a quote-unquote Black American, but I'm very proud to be to have the blood in my veins of Indigenous Native people. And no, I did not say Native American, because those people, our people, existed long before there was any such thing called America.
Absolutely. Very, very good point there. You know, in Australia, they call the Indigenous people, they call them Aboriginals, but I deny that term. I don't think they're Aboriginals. I think they are the originals.
I like that, brother. I like that.
Yeah, they've got us brainwashed that they're not the originals by saying the word Aboriginals.
Very good point. I love it. Because, you know, we need to be critical thinkers. We need to understand that these terms and terminologies, the narrative is a narrative meant to control and to define how we think for those few of us who, in fact, are still thinking. But I think it's increasing. More and more people are finally beginning to think. But I love what you just said. It makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. You know, in the past, you've written a lot of massive articles on government treason against the people. As an associate editor on the intrepidreport.com, as well as the Black Commentator, what kind of support and responses have you gotten from your work over the years?
Well, initially, back, let's go back to 2007, 2008. It's now 2015. But let's go back a few years. The responses overwhelmingly were positive because people were shocked that I dared to write the truth about the Obamatron, that is to say, Mr. Hope and Change, who is really Mr. Rope and Chains, not Hope. All right. I mean, really, let's be honest. And I went into who this character really is, who he really serves. And the responses I got overwhelmingly were positive. Of course, I got some responses from readers that said, how dare you? How could you tell the truth? Well, they didn't say tell the truth. How could you give this information about that brother? Well, my brothers and my sisters are those on Mother Earth who are the stewards of this planet. They are not those who are bloodsuckers. So I don't judge people based on their pigmentation, what I call the pigmentoid mentality. So right. I got a number of responses, but I just wanted to be very succinct and let you know. Most of the responses were extremely positive. People were shocked that even back in 07 and 08, I was speaking truth to power.
Awesome. You know, talking about the rope and chains guy, I prefer to call him the drone king, Barry Satoru.
Yes.
He promised us all hope and change and gave us nothing more than disillusion and dismay. Why is it that people fall for the same promises every time of these corporate-backed professional liars?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the corporations control not only the White House and the Congress, but let us also understand they control the so-called media. I call it the corporate stream, vomit stream media. So what the people get, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, what everyday, ordinary, struggling people get on a daily, hourly basis is vomit. And I don't mean to be offensive to the audience. And by the way, I want to thank the audience around the world for listening to this wonderful program, but or show. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, we're fed a diet constantly of vomit. And so people go for the ghosts, as we used to say back in the late 60s and early 70s. We need to stop going for the ghosts and start going for our own humanity collectively.
As a collective, as a group collective, do this right. Without individuals, yeah. I once heard you say in an interview that change does not come from comfortable people. Change actually comes from uncomfortable people. Do you think there are currently enough uncomfortable people in America?
Well, to be blunt, I'm not sure, but I know it's rapidly growing. And I think the time is approaching very quickly when indeed there will be enough uncomfortable people. And I'm not just talking about uncomfortable in physical terms. That's, of course, important. But I'm also talking about, that's why I said earlier, we must be critical thinkers. I'm also talking about being uncomfortable as being what I call intellectual stooges, intellectual dupes. I think more and more people are saying, hey, we're not going to accept this psychologically, intellectually, or physically. So it's happening. We don't see it, and we shouldn't, or some of us may not see it. We shouldn't expect to find it on ABC, NBC, CBS, BBC, CBC, or any of the rest of them. This is about the people, everyday, ordinary, struggling, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people on our very precious Mother Earth.
You know, it's staggering for me to realize that in America, the amount of homeless people, approximately 22 million, it equates to the same number of total people in the total population of Australia. That's how many people don't have a home tonight.
And you know what? You know what that is, my brother? That is criminal. That is criminal. There's no other word to describe it but criminal. We need another Nuremberg trial. We need we the people. We need a people's trial. A people's a trial of, by, and for the people. What you just said is utterly unacceptable. Utterly unacceptable. But we the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, we are the only ones who can change it, and we will change it.
That's certainly one example amongst many that the government simply are not doing their job. They're not doing what they're supposed to be paid to do, to look after and to govern the resources of the people.
Right, right. Well, unfortunately, their definition of their job differs immensely from the definition of the founding fathers and mothers, okay? Now, that's not to say that this country, the United States, did not make many mistakes even in its foundation. It did. However, there is a big difference between the so-called ideals, that's I-D-E-A-L-S, ideals of this country as expressed by these lying, hypocritical leaders of all colors and both genders, and they're not leaders, in fact, they're misleaders. Okay, there's a big difference between that and the reality of these bloodsuckers of what they're doing to the overwhelming majority, not just the majority, but the overwhelming majority of people, not only in the United States or Canada or Australia, but quite frankly, around the globe, throughout Mother Earth.
Yes, sir. Now, government aside, do you honestly think that the corporations are greatly to blame for the current state of affairs of the nation?
I think the corporations control the nation. I think the corporations control the government. So, to be blunt, absolutely, absolutely. You think of corporations, I'm going to use one example, Monsanto, that blood-sucking piece of manure, all right? You know, Cargill, another blood-sucking piece of manure. Lockheed, another blood-sucking piece of manure. I mean, it's an endless list, as Gil Scott-Heron would say, that won't be missed.
Yeah, Northrop Grumman, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, J.P. Morgan.
Right. I mean, it's endless. But you know what? We, the people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, it is time for us to wake the heck up and understand that the only people who can change this and who will change this are we ourselves. Stop depending on these avaricious, blood-sucking, hypocritical so-and-sos. I'm trying not to curse. I'm trying to be nice. Okay? to do anything for us. They are about themselves. They always have been. And it is time for them to be totally and fundamentally dislodged.
And it's quite possible too many people are standing back waiting for somebody else to take a stand and take the reins and do something about it.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's sort of like, you know, back in the day, you know, I'm kind of an old guy. Don't get that confused. I might be an old guy, but I'm not elderly. But back in the day, you know, you get on the dance floor, right? And nobody wanted to get on the dance floor. They liked the music, so it took one couple to get out there on that dance floor. And then what happened? Woo! Bam! All the other couples. We can't wait. We can't sit back and wait for this person or that person. This is not a me struggle. It's not a me struggle. It's a we struggle.
Now, I've listened just recently to the very popular interview you did on InfoWars about a year ago, which has now over 230,000 views. Is it surprising for you to realize that you're about the views that you're saying about being a human with empathy is having such a wide impact on so many people? Is that surprising?
Shocking. I'm delighted. I am absolutely delighted, but I'm also quite I'm a bit surprised in one way, but in another way, I've always believed that people recognize truth, irrespective of their so-called ideologies, their so-called colors and gender. I think people do recognize truth, and I'm very, very glad that it's over 230,000, and it's growing. So, yes.
I believe you've traveled around the world in your time. What are some of the countries you've visited, and what's probably your most favorite country of all?
Well, I'm going to have to just be blunt and tell you my favorite country of all. First, I'll tell you some of the countries. I'll answer your question. Egypt, North Africa, Tanzania, East Africa, Uganda, East Africa, Zambia, Southern Africa, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, obviously Europe. But I've got to tell you, honestly, my favorite country is Ireland. I love the people of Ireland. I love the people of Mother Earth, no matter what country. But I got to tell you that when I was in Ireland, my God, the people were so, this was a few years ago, were so educated in terms, I didn't say brainwashed, I said educated, big difference. So that's my favorite country, but, you know, if there's any such thing. But I love the people throughout Mother Earth of all countries.
Do you refer to educated as being politically aware?
Yes, I do. Right. Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Now, I do believe that I've heard you refer to America before in one of your interviews as Babylon. That's a very Rasta term to describe the economic slavery we're currently under. Do you feel that we are in the ancient system of Babylon, just revisited for the modern age?
We are indeed. In fact, in some respects, it's far worse. How so? Because this Babylon has stretched its tentacles throughout the entire globe. The original Babylon was limited in the areas around Mesopotamia and other areas, but limited. But this Babylon, oh my goodness. And so, yes, it's time to dislodge the Babylonians who are running this insane asylum. And you know what? We can do it. So, yes, I'd have to say, yes, 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 this is Babylon.
What is your personal opinion about 9/11? Do you believe that 19 Muslim hijackers with box cutters could have done that?
I believe that that's the biggest comedy I've ever seen. It's sad that people who are supposed to be intelligent could actually believe such a big lie. But as what was his name? The Nazi who said the bigger the lie, the Minister of Propaganda, I believe it was Goebbels.
Yes, sir, just Goebbels.
Yeah. You know, it's time for us to understand that the lies that Obama, G.W. Bush, Democrats, Republicans, the bigger the lie, the more they think people will understand, will go for the ghost. But I'm telling you here today, all of us, that the bigger the lie, the easier it will be to pop the bubble like a balloon. It's a balloon. Get out your pens, folks, and pop the bubble, and let's create a more humane, a more honest society, not only in this country, but for our Mother Earth.
So who in your mind do you think were the masterminds, the real masterminds of 9/11? Was it the Project for the New American Century? Was it Mossad? Was it Larry Silverstein, Dick Cheney, or all of the above?
I think it was all of the above. Certainly, all of the above were cognizant of it. Certainly, all of the above were cognizant of it. I mean, ask yourself, why did the United States Air Force recall its fighter jets? All right? They actually recalled their fighter jets that were there to intercept the passenger planes, and, you know, may God rest the soul of the people who were on the souls of the people who were on that plane. But those planes, not one plane, but a number of planes, United Airlines, American Airlines, planes, passenger planes. Of course they were cognizant. Of course they were involved, either directly or indirectly. And it is time for us to stop fooling ourselves. You know, wake up, smell the roses, and let's plant some more roses by being critical thinkers and saying no more to this insanity.
How about the chimpanzee in charge, Baby Bush? Do you think he was too brain dead to have played his role convincingly?
Well, I certainly was not convinced, and I think a number of interesting chimpanzees. I think that's a bit of an insult to chimpanzees. But anyway, I'm sorry, I had to throw that in. But I think that the reality is that, you know, it wasn't only that jerk, G.W. Bush. And by the way, Barack Obama has extended the Bush policies, and not only extended, but he has exacerbated the Bush policy. But I think that more and more, and I keep going back to this point, I believe that in the year 2015, we're going to see more and more, we're already seeing people of all colors, of both genders, and of all ages waking up. So, you know, all I can say is what the French would say to G.W. Bush, and quite frankly, Mr. Hope and Change, Drone Man, Obama. Yes, Drone Man. He murders by drones, not to mention his personal kill list. All I can say to them is, goodbye, c'est la vie, as they say in French, I believe. C'est la vie. Gone. Be gone. Be gone and good riddance.
Amen. Do you think the fact that the drone king Obama, he actually got a Nobel Prize, a Nobel Peace Prize, do you think that's a very clear sign that the whole thing is rigged?
I think it's a very clear sign of just how hypocritical. Let me answer your question. Of course it's rigged. I mean, to put it mildly, that's being very diplomatic. Of course it's rigged. But a peace prize to Drone Man? Now, people can say, oh, but they didn't know. Well, if they didn't know, why the hell did they award him the prize? I mean, it's not even logical, okay? It doesn't even begin to make any kind of common sense, or as my parents would say, that's not even horse sense. So that's my response to that, my brother.
Wonderful. You are listening to the People Who Speak radio show. I am your host, Steve Johnson, talking with fascinating guest and special guest Larry Pinkney live on BBS Radio. We'll be back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
You're listening to the People Who Speak radio show, coming to you live across America and across the world. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, and we're back with our guest tonight. He's a political analyst with his own website, www.blackactivistwg.org, and a prolific writer of the Loss of Liberties on such websites as blackcommentator.com. Welcome back there, Mr. Pinkney, sir.
Thank you. As I said before, I am delighted. Thank you for having me, to you and to the audience. Thank you.
Well, I'm not only excited, but I'm having a fun time interviewing you. You're certainly one of the more passionate, more lovable characters that we've ever had. And we do have a caller. As I said, we go out live and direct. We've got a caller here from Ontario, Canada. We've got John. Are you there, John?
I'm here.
Go ahead, sir. Mr. Pinkney's ready and waiting for your question.
Hello, Larry. Can you hear me okay?
I can indeed, John. Great to hear you. Thank you. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, well, thank you for being here, and first of all, let me premise everything by saying that I agree with almost everything you say. I'm on your side 100% here. Now, I presume you know the story of Eddie Conway. Would that be correct?
I not only know the story of Eddie Conway, I know Eddie Conway. I spoke to him about 4 days ago on the phone. But go ahead, yes.
Okay, well, I found the information that Eddie Conway exposed about the abuse of the FBI and the judicial system that improperly imprisoned him for 44 years and the dehumanization that he was forced to endure during those years is extremely enlightening, and I'll tell you why. Because the reality that you are up against, in my humble opinion, is a white dominated world that does not understand the martial law state and tyranny that blacks have endured for decades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that with a caveat, but you go ahead and then I'll do my caveat. But yeah, on principle, of course I would agree with that.
Okay, so my frustration is that I don't see the capacity of white America and white Canada, where I'm from, to understand that the tyranny that has been levied against, the state tyranny, the judicial tyranny, the injustice that has been levied against blacks, indigenous people, will eventually be levied against everybody else, including whites. Now, Malcolm X said, there is no reforming empire. Mm-hmm. It has to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I appreciate your message about we've got to all get together, we've got to all fight this tyranny, and all the rest of it. My point to you is, we are dealing with a population of white people that, first of all, don't give a goddamn, and secondly, have no understanding of the state abuse that has been heaped on other people for decades and don't want to even engage in the conversation.
Well, they may not.
I'll leave you to respond, and I'll listen to you off air.
All right, John, and I thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Let me say this very quickly. Number one, I have to concur. I am compelled to concur that the overwhelming, or it appears that the overwhelming majority of so-called whites, and I say so-called because, well, it's another story. Anyway, are in denial. But I also want to remind you that there are also I don't even like the word elite. Let's just say that there is a certain segment of blacks in the United States, for example, like Al Sharpton, like Jesse Jackson, who play this role of complicity. You know, the uprisings that took place, the slave rebellions that took place, were not only black slave rebellions. Let us remember John Brown. Let us remember his three sons who were hung, who were murdered at Harper's Ferry. Let us remember the Irish potato famine brought on by the terrible British Empire. Let us remember. Now, while I definitely agree with your overall points, John, I want to emphasize that as we began the program, comfortable people do not make change. So maybe it's time for more and more people to become uncomfortable, which, by the way, includes white folk. But you know what? I love all my brothers and sisters, and the more uncomfortable they become, the more I am going to be closely allied with them. And I trust in humanity, and I trust in Mother Earth.
We have a question here, sir, from Reggie in Maryland. Larry, do you think they lied to us about Osama bin Laden just as they lied to us about Jessica Lynch and Pat Tillman?
I'm sorry for laughing. I mean no disrespect. But absolutely they lied to us. I mean, you know, our government, which is not our government at all, I put the word our in quotation marks, is by its very nature, particularly in the last 2 to 3 decades, Particularly, it is by its very nature based on lies and deceit. So there is no doubt that they had lied to us, not only about those things that you have mentioned, but so, so much more.
We got a question from Mike in California. Do you think you could help Edward Snowden, Bradley Manning, and Julian Assange present their cases in front of the United Nations just as you did?
Well, you know what? If asked to do so, I can tell you this. I would do my utmost, for whatever it's worth, to be of assistance to those brothers. I would do my utmost. You know, my case was taken to the UN under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and I consider all of them to be heroes. And we've got some sheroes out there, too, now. Let us not forget. We got some sisters out there of all colors who are also standing up and fighting. So anything that I can do in terms of my own experience and background to be to aid those brothers and sisters, rest assured that is precisely what I will do.
We have a question from John in Canada. Mr. Pinckney, do you see personal debt as a form of slavery that prevents people from getting involved in social change?
Well, I think that personal debt, first of all, let's define what personal debt is. In fact, let's take it to the baseline. What is debt? How is debt incurred? Who does debt come from? You know, let's be real. The bottom line is that debt is incurred thanks to this blood-sucking, avaricious system, corporatism, corporate plutocracy, whatever blasted name you want to put on it. But you know, the debt is owed to the people, not the other way around, not the people owing debt to corporations or to governments. That's what I have to say about that, my brother.
So it's manufactured debt that's basically part of the Babylon system.
Of course. Of course. What else? That's how the system functions.
We have another call-in guest, Mr. Cash in the United States. Are you there, Mr. Cash?
I sure am. How are you there, Mr. Ness?
Go ahead, sir.
Stephen. How's everything going? My question is, what do you got to say to all these people that are here in the United States trying to protect their Second Amendment rights, but all they're doing is sitting around and polishing their guns, waiting for the government to make the first move?
Well, you know, the reality is the government has already made the first, second, and third move. And, you know, to me, Steve and I and were talking earlier today. You know, and it I believe strongly in the right of self-defense, whether it's by a rock, a stick, words, or whatever. I believe strongly in that. However, I believe that people need to do research. They need to understand that it's not a simple matter of guns. You know, it is a matter of awakening ourselves intellectually, mentally, psychologically. And so I hope I'm making some semblance of sense in what I'm trying to get across.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. But what people don't realize is that they are killing us slowly with all different types of weapons that they are using on us already, such as chemtrails and, you know, harp system and things of different nature.
Right.
But we're standing around and we're not defending ourselves.
Well, people will not defend themselves if they don't know they're under attack. Our job is to make sure that people understand clearly, that they are under attack, that we collectively are under attack. The more we do that, the more we will see people awaken.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have questions for me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cash. And you know, you hit a very, very sentient point there, Mr. Pinckney. We're not only under attack psychologically, we're also under attack from the slow kill, from the poisons, from these chemical companies, from the food companies, from all this stuff that is poisoning our bodies and poisoning our genes for the next generation.
Right, right. And the fact of the matter is, it's going to get worse unless we stop it and then reverse it. We don't just need to stop it. We need to reverse it. We need to get people to understand that companies like Monsanto are monsters. They are monsters. And we need to break it down in very clear, simple, everyday, ordinary language of everyday, ordinary people. That's what I consider myself, just an everyday, ordinary person. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that people understand why we refer to them or why I refer to them as monsters, because that is precisely what they are and how it affects them. And we can do this. I believe strongly that we can do this.
I have a question from Romero in New York that recently on Face of the Nation TV program, rioters began when out-of-towners came in and were overheard saying, we're going to close this city down. What are your thoughts on the implications of an organized riot in a place like Baltimore or Ferguson?
Well, first of all, I use the word rebellion, okay? If I go into any place, and there is nothing for me to stir up, all right? For example, I remember back in the 60s and 70s, they used to say, all these folks are stirring up trouble. But the fact of the matter is the trouble was already there. If there was no trouble already there, they couldn't stir it up. But
right.
On the other hand, I do totally, or at least I hope totally understand or at least relate to the fact that there are certain, shall I say, elements such as the so-called New Black Panthers. And I notice I said so-called because they have nothing to do in reality with the original Black Panther Party, that go into places for the express purpose of causing as much mayhem as they possibly can. I say right now, today, in 2015, as I said, in 1967 and 1968, I say all power to the people. That means the people in their community, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. And, you know, it's one thing to say I am in support and solidarity with people who are struggling. But it's another thing to go in and to do anything and everything that you can to exacerbate a situation that already horrible.
We have a question from Jane Bond in the United States. What are your thoughts on the modern day Black Panther movement as compared to the original one?
Well, I think I may have touched on that just now. I don't consider it a Black Panther movement. If you look at, for example, the book by Huey P. Newton, To Die for the People, read it. You'll find out, read it. I mean, actually read it, okay? You'll see that, first of all, we were not racist. We were not anti-people. We were pro-people. And I cannot align myself with or associate with any organization of any color that says kill babies, kill white babies. No,
wow.
Excuse me, I can't go there. And there's an article I would encourage everyone to read. It's online. Just Google it. It's called Everybody Hates the New Black Panther Party. Everybody, just Google it. And I think that will summarize it. The so-called New Black Panthers, excuse me? What the hell are they talking about? No, as if we don't still exist. The party was destroyed, but our legacy was never destroyed.
Right. Do you consider they may be COINTELPRO to give the Black Panthers a bad name?
Well, the bottom line is I have to look at their actions. And their actions tell me, I have to say, where are your national breakfast programs like the original Black Panther Party had? Where are your national food programs, your national school programs? Where are your programs for senior citizens? Where are your programs to educate the people? Where are your school programs where we had teachers, quote unquote, many of whom had degrees, some of whom didn't, but from the community? Where are your national programs? You know, the proof of the pudding is in the taste. Somebody can't come along and just grab a name. Oh, I'm a new Black Panther. Yeah, sure you are. Mm-hmm.
I do consider that this may be some kind of an operation to create social unrest. Did you concur with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the fact of the matter is that the FBI called the original Black Panther Party the single number one internal threat to the United States. And J. Edgar Hoover went further to state that it had nothing to do with guns. It had everything to do with the fact that the Black Panther Party was serving the people with Breakfast for Children programs. They were serving the people. We were serving the people. We were winning the hearts and minds of the people, so we had to be decimated. You don't see that with the so-called new Black Panther Party, do you? And you won't.
The original group actually had policies that were in place and implemented to actually help people.
That's right. And we had close alliances with white, brown, yellow, and red people.
Right.
That needs to be understood. Close alliances, working, viable alliances. That needs to be clearly understood. So, you know, you make your own decision. Make your own decision. But for God's sake, check out history as it really was and is, not as this vomit that certain elements, I don't care what their color is, certain elements are feeding us today.
Do you consider, in your opinion, that planet Earth today, in 2015, is just one big slave plantation?
It absolutely is one big slave plantation, and it's time for one big slave revolt, one big slave rebellion. And this is what, you know, I remember the words of the Irish freedom fighter, Bobby Sands, and he said, our revenge will be the laughter of our children. Our revenge, I feel chills every time I say that. Our revenge will be the laughter of our children. And indeed, that's what this struggle is truly all about. Get off the plantation, physically, psychologically, intellectually, get off of it. And we can do that. We've got to do that because we must survive. And the only reason or only way or fashion for us to survive is to make sure our precious Mother Earth survives. We are stewards of this planet. And so, yes, time to get rid of the plantations, all of them, and I don't care who they're supervised by, black, white, brown, red, or yellow. It is the overwhelming majority of black, white, brown, red, and yellow people who are under the boot. It's time for a real people's rebellion.
The overlords are the parasites of this world, not the people.
That's right.
Now, how important is critical thinking for the people to engage in? How important is that?
Critical thinking is an absolute necessity. Critical thinking is precisely what this government and other governments, but particularly the U.S. government, does not want us to do. If you are a critical thinker, then you are questioning. And if you are questioning, you are considered an enemy of the state. All right? And who's the state? Why, they are the blood-sucking, avaricious pieces of manure that are controlling the corporate... Oh, I'm trying not to curse. Lord knows. who are manipulating, playing us off against each other and keeping us in a state, a deliberate state of turmoil, confusion, and disunity. So we have got to understand that. It's not complicated. It's actually quite simple.
Do you see much hope on the horizon as far as people waking up to what a scam is really going on in this world?
I see lots of hope on the horizon. I see lots of hope, but not the kind of dope hope that Obama was talking about. Not the kind of dope hope, rope hope, chain hope. No, I see revolutionary hope. And when I say revolutionary hope, I am talking about critical people critically thinking, questioning, being honest with each other. You know, we don't want robots. We don't need robots. That's what we're fighting against. We need people to be honest, forthright, and really work at bringing about systemic change. Systemic change. And I do see hope, and it's deeper than hope. I see revolutionary hope. You know,
wow.
And yes, I absolutely, I'm sorry, I get a little fervent about that. Go ahead, brother.
I love it. Talking about the drone king, Obama, he actually promised in one of his campaigns, in his initial campaign, he promised to close Guantanamo Bay. I believe that was 7-8 years ago, and it's still open. Since coming into presidential office, instead of doing so, he signed in the Indefinite Detention Act for Americans, the NDAA. What are your thoughts on such actions?
I think that it's, again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier about something else that this blood-sucking war criminal did. And by the way, Obama is a war criminal, and I would remind everyone to read Cindy Sheehan's latest book called The Obama Files, Chronicles of an Award-Winning War Criminal by Cindy Sheehan. The Obama Files, Chronicles of an Award-Winning War Criminal. Now, getting back to what you said, the fact of the matter is that had we done our homework collectively, we would have known that the best thing Obama could do was to do what? Lie, and then lie some more. Obama is a liar. You know, if you just look at what this creature says, virtually everything he says, reverse it, and you'll have the truth. So that's what I have to say about that. And I'm, again, trying to remain diplomatic. I hope I'm diplomatic.
Absolutely. You're talking about Cindy Sheehan's book, which is fascinating, called The Obama Files. I'm halfway through reading it at the moment myself. Can you tell me, how did you get to do the foreword for that such a book?
Well, quite frankly, it's a good question. All I know is that Cindy contacted me, and I am just so honored, so delighted. I there are no words to describe how humbled I am, frankly. Cindy contacted me and asked me, obviously before the book was written, if I would be willing to write the foreword. Of course, I got back to her and said, "Sister, are you kidding?" Absolutely. So she contacted me, and I did it.
Can you tell the audience listening in, and listening in through the radio all around the world, can you tell us what was your most memorable experience over the years in the work you have done thus far?
Oh, my God. Now, that's a very hard question, my brother. My most memorable experience? Wow. I'm not really sure. I can name a couple. One would be when I took the case and actually to the UN and received the UN ruling in my favor. But because that affected not just me. In fact, the United States and Canada ignored it, but it affected and hopefully helped thousands of people, be they prisoners or non-prisoners alike around the world. I guess another experience was when I, this was just a few years ago, I happened to be in a store, and Office Max, I believe it's called, like Kinko's, but Office Max. And this white woman walked up to me and she said, "Larry," I'm going, "Uh-oh, another setup, what's happening here?" Right? And I said, she says, "Are you Larry Pinkney?" I said, "Yes." And she said, and she gave me her name. And I said, "Okay." And she said, "I'm from Oakland, California." This is what she said to me. She said, "I know you don't remember me, but I was one of those kids that you fed in the breakfast program." I broke out in tears. I mean, I was in tears. I tried to hold them back, but when I got in the parking lot, the tears just flowed. So I guess that would be one of the most memorable experiences. I guess another one would be when I was in prison, blacks, whites, brown folk were just murdering each other. Of course, is what the prison administration wanted them to do. And a member of the so-called Aryan Brotherhood came up to me. Now, this we're talking about the AB, the Aryan Brotherhood, came up to me, and this is in prison, and said to me, would I defend him in what was called Warden's Court? And, many of my black brothers said, well, you're not going to do that, are you? And I said, you're damn right I'm going to do that, because he's being moved on just like you're being moved on. Don't expect love. This is not about love. This is about understanding who our common enemy is. By the way, we went to Warden's Court. We won. And I acted as his advocate. This was in the California prison system. And, of course, the first thing the idiots did after we won was threw me into solitary confinement. And for one of the first times in California history, the murders stopped in that prison. And it was a prison of over 3,000 where blacks, white, brown, red, yellow people stopped it. They stopped it. And that is an experience I shall never, ever forget.
Well, Mr. Pinckney, we're definitely going to have you back on the show again. I think that I've still got a dozen or so questions I still want to ask, but we'll wrap it up for now. Please do stay on the line. You've been listening to the People Speak radio show with special guest Larry Pinckney. I'd like to thank him and remind all the listeners to visit his website at www.blackactivistwg.org or listen to him on the archives at the YouTube channel called UWS United We Strike. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Mr. Larry Pinckney.
Thank you, brother. It has been fantastic. It has been wonderful. And not only do I thank you and the producer and the technician, but I first and foremost want to say, as we said back in the day, all power to the people. Thank you to the audience.
Right on. Join us coming up soon on the People Speak radio show when I talk with political artist David Dees and esteemed researcher Rick Earthplay. Stay tuned for those interviews coming soon. Big thanks go out to the producers Mike and Donald, to all my friends throughout the world, and all the guys who have given so much support to the show. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune into my own channel on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. But for now, take care and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief of fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.